23001 Finley Jones seeks a special use exception for an accessory dwelling unit on a lot with an area of less than 10,000 square feet, section 11540 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southeast side of Duffy Street and northeast of Burton Avenue. The 911 address is 31 Duffy Street in Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is GR. The tax map is District 334, map 13.19, parcel 32.01. We have 2 letters of support, 8 letters of opposition, and 2 mail return.
Good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Kevin Burdett. I'm going to be a presenter this evening. Right. I have 2 people with me.
Do they want to be sworn in as well?
They'll all be sworn in.
Okay, come on up. We'll swear you all in at the same time.
Mr. Finley Jones III and Mr. Russell.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Finley Jones III, 25686 Milton, Delaware, 19968.
Kevin Burdett, 26177 Deep Branch Road, Milton, Delaware, 19968.
Dennis Russell, 6430 Burnite Mill Road, Felton, Delaware, 19943.
And do the 3 of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. I apologize for the late hour. We won't take you long, hopefully. We're here tonight to talk about really a special storm that has blown in, kind of like the perfect storm. Under Special Use Exception Ordinance 3027, Mr. Jones Jr. has applied for this application. He contacted Sussex County Planning and Zoning prior to June 25th and made sure that the lot he was looking at could have an auxiliary dwelling unit on it. He was told, yes, it could. He then went out, talked to the county sewer department, and they said, yep, we can provide sewer there. Mr. Jones has been a resident all his life in the Delaware area, has served this county well in both the fire service and has served the county government for many years as a councilman. Mr. Jones now resides most of the year in Canada, but does come back to this area several months out of the year and has residences here in Rehoboth that he resides in at those times. As he was selecting and had made the commitment to look at this property, he contacted a contractor, Delmarva Building, which is here this evening with me, and said, I want you to verify that I can build the auxiliary dwelling unit on the property. They contacted the county sometime after June 26 and spoke to planning and zoning affirmed that yes, they could have an auxiliary dwelling unit on the property. Well, the perfect storm comes apparently in the evening of June 25th. County Council approved Ordinance 3027 to go into effect that evening. And so decisions were made, commitments were made to purchase a parcel of property, and items were put in the wood moving forward to be able to purchase the property and build the structures. And that's what brings us here tonight is a perfect storm. The proposed dwelling auxiliary dwelling unit is located behind the main house on a long, narrow lot. It will be enclosed by a 7-foot-tall vinyl fence that will deter the view from the neighboring properties to the left and right. Immediately behind this property, there is currently a parcel that has an auxiliary dwelling unit on it. That auxiliary dwelling unit is some 2 stories tall, so you shouldn't be able to see this property at all from the rear access. As the front building, and this is in a letter which I provided that talks about the effects on adjacent and neighboring properties, the front house has a height of approximately 26'8". The auxiliary dwelling unit has a height of approximately 16'7" and lies directly behind the main house. Therefore, from Duffy Street, you will not be able to see the residence of the auxiliary dwelling unit. We have adequate parking spaces. We have 3 parking spaces for the main house, 1 set aside parking space additionally for the auxiliary dwelling unit. The auxiliary dwelling unit is enclosed in a 7-foot-tall fence. There is a walkway that runs from the parking spot on Duffy Road back to the auxiliary dwelling unit. That sidewalk is contained within the fenced area, so wanderers can't go wandering on other people's property. It is also a gated entrance to the dwelling unit in the back to keep unwanted people from residing there. The easement, Sussex County had asked, Sussex County Engineering had asked for an easement to be issued for a wastewater connection in the front. Mr. Jones, being a loyal Sussex County, and agreed to that easement. That easement has already been dedicated, has been recorded in the Sussex County record books, and that easement will be provided. We have met and will meet the county codes regarding the management of stormwater that falls on our property. Mr. Jones has retained a civil engineering firm to prepare the site drawing to, again, manage per county code the stormwater for our site. There is ample water and sewer to serve this site. And sewer will be served by Sussex County. Again, we've met with those people at the engineering department. They have concurred that they can serve it. They have concurred that the laterals will work and there will be a lateral in. City of Rehoboth will be providing central water for the site. There are also several auxiliary dwelling units located within West Rehoboth on lots that are smaller than the 10,000 square foot code that is currently called under 3027. And those are owned by the Rehoboth Land Trust. As a matter of fact, there's a couple, I believe, multifamily units owned by the West Rehoboth Land Trust on lots that are smaller than 10,000 square feet as well. So I have Mr. Russenbeer with me this evening. He will be happy to testify that they in fact wrote the letter. They in fact spoke to the people here in Sussex County Planning and Zoning and were advised that an auxiliary dwelling unit would be allowed on the property. And if you all would like to hear that testimony, we can certainly have him attest to that. And if you have any questions of Mr. Jones, again, we have tried to follow all the rules. Mr. Jones has followed all the rules. And I believe it's a sheer matter of, by the time council made a decision, the time that information got passed through to planning and zoning and the inspection departments, commitments were made based on what we were hearing from planning and zoning. Any questions from you, gentlemen?
So you said it will have a dedicated one parking space?
Yes, sir. That's shown on, if Ms. Lepore will pull up the supplemental drawing I submitted. I think you can see it very clearly.
Is there any homeowner association there?
No, there is not.
Okay.
And it's not in a proposed development. It's not in a cluster development.
Can we talk to the neighbors?
They have spoken with neighbors, yes.
Okay.
We have, I thought it was kind of ironic, the two positive letters. One came from Miss Duffy, who I believe the street was named after her heritage, and the other one came from a person who has lived there for 5 generations, and they were both in favor of this. They recognize Mr. Jones as an honorable man, has stayed by his word, and is not going to put up something that's going to hurt the community. As you can see in the front, Mr. Corman, on the far right side, right there. There it whoop. It worked for a second.
Mr. Corman, this will be the dedicated spot for the back residence.
Understood.
And these will be the three spots dedicated to the front residence.
I said, pending your approval this evening, we'll have the civil site engineer complete it, and we'll handle the stormwater concerns for the water within our lot. We will handle those. And obviously, as you all are aware by the regulations, we can't let it run onto other people's lots next to us. I mean, that's against county code, so.
Dr. Carson?
So the date of the passage of the ordinance is key to this question that's in front of us, is that correct?
Yes, sir, June 25th.
Because of one of the things that occurred with the passing of the ordinance was increasing the square footage from 800 to 1,000?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and this one ends up at 836. Thank you.
Mr. Sharp?
Let's piggyback on that. The prior ordinance would have had an 800 square foot limitation on the accessory dwelling unit. Did that size increase after the ordinance was passed?
That size did increase after the ordinance. There he is. He's over here. That size did increase by 36 feet. Yeah, they added a 4x8 area.
I don't see any steps or access to that accessory dwelling unit. Is it shown? I don't see it on that drawing.
The steps would fall on.
Going to be in the interior of the lot?
Nothing will be within the 5-foot setbacks. They will be interior to the lot.
Same thing with like an HVAC.
There is a 7-foot setback on one side of the property. We've held in 7-foot. It's only 5-foot required. There's 5-foot on the other side. There will be no structures in those 5-foot areas other than the fence, obviously, on the property line itself.
Now, the HVAC would be also within those.
It will not be within those areas. It'll be on the 7-foot side, but it's a slimline unit that'll be up on the building, so it will be outside of the 5-foot setback.
Do you have any idea how this stormwater will work? Because I think one of the concerns that the opposition raised in one of the letters was a lot of impervious surface on the property. We got a pool there, we're gonna have a patio, it looks like with pavers or concrete, stamped concrete, it says on the drawing. You got the ADU, you got the dwelling, you got foyers and a porch in front, you got the parking spaces, and it looks like you got a walkway. So I'm just curious as to if you have any idea how that would work with the stormwater.
Mr. Sharp, I will not put words into a site engineer's mouth, however, if you look at the back of the property, behind the auxiliary dwelling unit in that 5-foot area, they're showing that as a stoned area currently, and I am assuming the part of that's going to be an infiltration gallery. I also am assuming that the paved area around the pool may be permeable pavers instead of impermeable pavers, so you pick up some absorption there. But again, I'm not an engineer. I've just worked around it a long time. But those are the ones that pop in my mind. But Mirestone Engineering will be the ones that, and they're very familiar with that area. The soils in the area are actually, from what we have been able to determine, are normally pretty sandy. And again,
we are near the beach.
You are at the beach. You know, currently that lot is a low lot, so I would assume when it does rain, you know, water probably from the neighbors run onto us. And that's not according to the code. I mean, they can't do that. Mr. Jones III works in that area quite a bit, and during normal rainfalls, he's never seen a flooding issue along the street there. So I would assume there's some absorption that goes on.
The other question was about parking.
Yes, sir.
With a house of that size and the ADU in the back, is, you believe, 4 spaces is sufficient for the vehicle?
I believe so. The rear ADU is only 2 bedrooms. And the front one, you've got three parking spaces for that home. I believe that should be sufficient. Certainly more than what many homes out in subdivisions have.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Can we have three in opposition? Would you like to come one at a time and be sworn in? Good evening.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Laura Matthew, 19747 Norwood Street, Rehoboth Beach.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And that Norwood Street's near this location. How far away are you from the site?
The next street over. So they're on Duffy Street. There's only four streets in the community, so I would...
Okay. Thank you.
First, I would like to say, because one of the questions that you asked earlier was if any neighbors were talked to, I have a petition with all the direct neighbors and, well, in the community. So there, I'd like to submit this. So there are 31 signatures against. I would also like to speak on the drainage issues. I've lived there full time for 7 years now. It's kind of a fishbowl. We have no storm grates, nor do we have a drainage pond. Since we've moved in, there's probably 10 new homes on my street, in which case flooding is occurring. And I can show you pictures if you like. I have them on my phone. I can't say if it's flooding on Duffy because I live on Norwood, but there is flooding on Burton and there's flooding on Norwood Street. I would also like to address, there were two letters that were presented in favor of. If you look at the address on both of those address, they don't exist. I don't know where the letters came from, but the both addresses are not active addresses in our community. The houses are getting larger. The parking has become an issue. These are two rentals. The houses that are now rentals in the community are between 12 and 18 people. That's the amount they can accommodate. So there's up to 9 cars. They're all over the streets. He also brought up that there are multiple dwellings on other lots, and there are. Joe Reed, directly behind, I walk up.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So this would be one. This is Joe Reed, who also signed the petition, and he lives here, and he does rent out the front, and he rents it out to J1 students. So every year, no, there's no cars. There's bicycles, but no cars. This lot here, also a land trust lot. A little different when you have two land trust homes with full-time residents, and again, one car, because they don't have vehicles. There's not a parking issue. The other would be the land, again, to... the two land trust lots here. Now these two lots, they're over 10,000 square feet. They're both wider. So it's not under 10,000 square feet. Both of these lots are 75 wide by 175 deep. And again, full-time residents, Habitat for Humanity houses here, and then land trust homes there. They are the only lots that have multiple dwellings on them. And they are all in the community with land trust or Habitat for Humanity homes, full-time residents. They're not making money doing Airbnbs and rentals all summer. Most of the new homes coming in now are Airbnbs and rental units. They are not renting low-income homes. They're renting at $8,000 a week. Two dwellings, I don't understand how two could fit in with the rain issues. There's no permeable surface. And I don't understand as well, I do have a garage in the back of my house. 10-foot setback on each side. I have a garage in the back with a little art studio up top, just for me. When I put that in, I had to sign papers. It was built in 21. I had to sign papers saying that I would not rent it out, that this was just a private use for me. So I'm kind of confused where it was ever possible to put a second dwelling on a lot. And I could be wrong on that, but I know I had to personally sign papers when I filed for a permit to build. Yes, that's...
I think at the time, the county had a garage / studio apartment process. And if you were coming, if you were going to say that you were going to be using it for a garage studio apartment, mm-hmm. you would have had to come...
To have a hearing.
You would have had to come here for a special use exception. And then at one point, it became an administrative process. And if it was a larger unit, then it would have come to us.
Okay.
So when folks sign for a permit for their garage where there's going to be an upstairs, mm-hmm. naturally the permit office says, hey, is that going to be used for a studio apartment?
Correct.
And you have to, because if it was, then yeah. there's another layer of that process.
Okay.
That has since changed.
Okay.
There's now an accessory dwelling unit ordinance that was passed in June, which we were talking about earlier tonight. I know it's been a long evening.
My watch died.
Yeah, so I appreciate everyone's patience here tonight with that. But that ordinance was passed.
Okay.
And it did change some things. And this is actually the first case this board has heard
okay.
under that new ordinance, which allows for, if it's greater than 10,000 square foot lot,
which these aren't.
Someone can apply for, basically an accessory dwelling unit could be done over the counter.
Okay.
But it's when the lot is less than 10,000 square feet, there's a requirement that they go before this board for a special use exception. And that's where we are here tonight.
I personally, and the signatures on that sheet, I feel it's a dangerous precedent, especially there. Without proper drainage, and this has to come from DelDOT, these are state roads. Lord knows, I know Buddy's number. It's in my phone because we've come out and he has looked at drainage issues so many times from people building up their lots. And from what I was told from Buddy is that you're allowed to, quote unquote, improve your lot. In other words, you can build your lot up, which the new homes are. They're building them up high and then shooting their water to the surrounding properties. And in which case, the surrounding property, we were told, has to civilly sue that homeowner to say that they've diminished their home value. There's not a single elevation thing that needs to be submitted when you build in my community. And it's, I'm on a slab. The neighboring property is on a slab. So any water that comes over, we have to deal with. So, that's it.
So which way does the water drain? Does it drain, like, is that lot higher than others? Is it lower?
So there's now I can't speak to Duffy. It's all low. There's a slight hump in the road here. So the two lots here, it's a slight hump. There are four storm grates. One here, there's one at the back, or three, maybe three. However, they're storm drains to nowhere. They put them in when they put the road in, but they don't go anywhere. So we have three or four grates that, well, they fill, and they're three or four grates that fill. They don't go anywhere. We have no storm water removal in the whole community. So the water then is pumps, since this is a high area, shoots down to both directions. It ends up here, and it's really flooding at the end of Norwood. It's a fishbowl. So Hebron, the main road, is much higher than our community. So you can't drain it on the Hebron. There is no place to drain water. It's going to become a really bad issue back there, because this is much lower. So this is a hill to go up to here. so the water comes down and it's really flooding. Now, this is an example. These lots, again, that's how I know Buddy so well. One over one weekend, they brought in 86 dump truck loads of dirt. They've raised this elevation on this lot 3 feet. The county came in after we complained, and they said you need to put up silk fence. That was the cure. So silk fence will cure it all. So it still has silt fence, and they've also built up lots on here. I can show you. I don't know if it's on this map, but here, same thing. They bring in dump truck load after dump truck load after dump truck load, and they build up their lots, and every other neighbor has to accept the drainage water. So I'm sorry to disagree with you with the fact that you're not allowed to put your water on someone else's property, because every new build, it's happening. It's happening every build. This particular house in the back built it up 5 feet. Hebron, it's up in the corner. The new house on the back right in the corner is built up 5 feet. And they brought the land up 5 feet to it. So it is a problem there. It is a problem with no solution if you can't take your own stormwater, because it is going on to everybody's property. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
You can come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Jennifer Noel. My current address is 19932 Center Avenue in Rehoboth Beach.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I submitted a letter in opposition by email this afternoon, and I believe, Mr. Sharp, that you referenced some of the concerns that I raised in my letter. Thank you for that. I own the property that's located at 37165 Burton Avenue, immediately adjacent to this property. It's, if you move over, that gray building the gray roof there. It was a social hall and a club in West Rehoboth from the 1940s. The small section was built in the 1940s. The larger section was built in the 1960s. I am renovating that to make it my home, and it is going to be my full-time home. I am going to live in Rehoboth. I do live in Rehoboth full-time. I'm going to live in that home full-time. It is at grade level. It's a slab in the larger section, and it is on pilings in the smaller section. And it's not more than 18 inches, perhaps, off the ground, because, of course, in the 40s and the 60s when it was built, that was the expectation. And I am afraid of any water runoff that is going to come off of their property and onto mine, as there is only approximately 4 feet from the property line to my home. And you can see where the property line runs very close against the house. The prior owner of this property had two adjacent properties that they then merged to one and then re-subdivided into three, leaving only 4 feet at the back of my property from the edge of my house. So even with the 5 feet on their side to their house, there's only going to be collectively approximately 9 feet from the side of their building to the side of my building. I wanted to get back to the ordinance that has been referenced earlier today. So the new ordinance that was passed in June actually added language that expressly prohibits any accessory dwelling unit on a lot of less than 10,000 square feet, obviously without this board's permission. But that express language, no accessory dwelling unit shall be constructed or placed on a lot that is smaller than 10,000 square feet in area, was new when the revision to the code was passed in June. And I bring that up because obviously this would not be an issue if this lot was over 10,000 square feet. They would have been able to do this, as Mr. Sharp said, at the counter, and it would have just been approved. This lot is 8,750 feet. Square feet, that's it. It's a pretty small lot. And so I would argue that there's no reasonable basis to approve this application. In support of this, obviously, I've talked about the rainwater. The other concern I have is that I think that Mr. Burdett has referenced that Mr. Finley will only be in the area for a couple of months out of the year. And that means that this property I'm anticipating would be rented, both the main house and the secondary, the ADU. And so we would have two more rental properties within the West Rehoboth area. As Laura mentioned a few minutes ago, there is already an increase in traffic and in parking as a result of the number of rental units that are already in West Rehoboth. While the proposed plan also provides for the one parking space for the ADU, in my experience, one parking space is often not enough, particularly if you have a two-bedroom property. If you have spouses that rent a location, often there are two cars. And so one parking space is not sufficient when there's no on-street and there is no street parking in the West Rehoboth community. The other thing that I want to point out is that the county administrator indicated in the press release issued by Sussex County when this ordinance was passed that the purpose of the changes to the code were expressly to permit ADUs in order to, quote, provide flexibility and affordable housing options in Sussex County. I would argue that if you approve this ADU, there is going to be no legal requirement imposed upon the owners of this property to ensure that it is actually made available as affordable housing. I will point out that both the Rehoboth, West Rehoboth Land Trust and Habitat for Humanity, which have two homes on a property, are in fact charitable in order to promote affordable housing in the community. And so clearly our ADU, multiple dwellings on a single property for the purpose of promoting affordable housing, which is not what Mr. Finley's application seeks to do. I'm sorry, I'm just reading my notes to make sure that I haven't missed anything that I wanted to add. And ultimately, I suspect that this property, particularly given its proximity to Rehoboth, would end up being a property at which market rates are charged, which is not going to necessarily be affordable housing. I will also point out that the property immediately behind that has the home over top of the garage that Laura had pointed out, that is a lot that is over 10,000 square feet. So it would be permitted over the counter again in this community at this point in time. Obviously, my neighbors have mentioned the parking and the water drainage, and Laura has much more experience with that. Finally, the two letters that were submitted in support of the application, when I reviewed these, as Laura mentioned, there's no home located at, and in fact, there's no address on the street of 18754 Duffy Street. And when I went into your parcel search for Sussex County, there is no address that comes up. Similarly, the letter that was submitted by Mr. Burton, which is 134 Burton Avenue, there is no home by that address that I'm aware of. I do know that the 911 numbering went from three numbers to five numbers about 15 years ago, so it is possible that there had been a 134 Burton Avenue at some point, but there is not a home with that address at this time. Ultimately, my biggest concern is that if you approve the construction of a second home, this ADU on this property, that the landowner will then be permitted to use that as he or she see fit, he or she sees fit, which is completely appropriate when you own a property. But there's going to be nobody who can speak for the rest of the community at that point. And so as a result, in light of the foregoing, I would respectfully request that you deny the applicant's special use exemption application in this case. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Mr. Sharp?
Just one. So What would, because it seems like the concern is basically twofold, parking and stormwater, which I understand from your concern, you're adjacent to it. If the applicant were to build a larger home that had the same square footage as this, wouldn't he have the same, wouldn't those issues potentially still exist?
So arguably, if the square footage of the home was to grow, but there was no separate cottage, I would expect that it might grow up instead of back, and so arguably might cover less square footage of the land. I also think that you would be able to move the property, the house, back on the lot, which would allow you to have more parking. And if you were to look at the others that are rental properties in the community, most of them, I mean, I, on Burton, technically have a 30-foot setback because I have a pre-existing structure. I'm not bound by the 30-foot setback because the building's already there. But all of the other properties on Burton that face Burton, we have a 30-foot setback from Burton. So those properties have 30 feet, you know, and it's 30 feet, you know, there's a lot of space there. It feels like for parking, or what feels like more space for parking. Do I know that for a fact? No, but so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come forward, ma'am. Good evening, Mr. Sharp. We'll swear you in.
State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Brenda Milburn, and I live at 19801 Duffy Street in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. I live one door down from where the gentleman had bought this land. And when it rains, the water floods our street. We cannot get out. And putting two more houses there with the children. I'm the executive director of the Westside New Beginnings Children and Youth Program. So I'm an addict about children. We have enough problems as it is, but with them building that, those two houses, where will they park? Right now, I have to go and ask the people that own Big Oyster, could you ask the people not to park in the road, because then we can't get out, the children can't play. So we're putting a swimming pool there. When it rains, we don't have a runoff. The water just set. I mean, you see the drainage, but it just set there. So we're running in flood water until it dries up in the ground. So I think adding these two houses will be more problem for us and our community. And I'm still worried about the children. We have 5 kids that have special buses that come in. One lady that have a dark bus that come in, and they turn around on Duffy Street so they can get to their houses on Norwood Street. So I am against these two houses. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Gentlemen, do you have anything to say to the testimony?
Yes, sir. On the side of the masonry building, that side, we have a 7-foot setback. That's the side that we held the 7-foot on. So actually, instead of 5 and 5, you got 7 and 4, which I think is not a problem for her with 4-foot setback. But that makes it 11-foot setback on that side. I just wanted to clear that up. Also, our parking slots, with the 30-foot setback we have, our parking slots for each one of them is 9 foot by 30 feet. If they are truly concerned about parking, we can fit 3 in vertically, and then somebody could pull up behind them to park the second vehicle there. So you actually, in turn, could get six in that area. But we were only laying them out as 3 9x30 spots, figuring people would have bicycles they would want to put in front of the cars. And we have a front porch there, and I'm sure bicycles will be locked up on. So outside of that, as I said before, Sussex County Code requires us to handle our own stormwater and not flood neighbors. I think you gentlemen are well aware of that. Sussex Conservation District certainly is well aware of that. And they do have rules and laws that can be held into effect for that. Thank you.
Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 13001. Mr. Finley Jones, and entertain a motion.
Mr. Sharp, if this building was just, say, 795 square feet, where would we lie there?
Wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't matter.
The issue,
they still need the special
use exception. The issue is the square footage of the lot. They could actually have a 1,000 square foot if it's at least no greater than 50% of the floor area of the main dwelling. That number has increased.
Gotcha.
So you may recall we were getting a lot of garage studio apartments that were 836 square feet or, 1,000 square feet. So council has increased the size of those, recognizing that some of those apartments may have been a little small for what had the code had put in. But to Ms. Noel's point, they did put a restriction about, if you got a lot that's less than 10,000 square feet, you've got to come to the board for the special use.
We've had many a discussion about this neighborhood, the neighborhood has come in to represent the issues that impact what I think to be the physical plan of the neighborhood itself. And I weigh that against the rights of the property owner in terms of being able to develop their land as part of the issue. And so I think this is a systemic, having three grates to address a drainage issue certainly is a far cry from what the answer should be for the neighborhood itself. And so I think this is a bigger question regarding, and we've had this question before. Ms. Milburn's been in front of us many a time to talk about drainage and access and the ability to get into the neighborhood along the way. I suspect at one time there was a structure on this lot prior to it becoming an empty lot, and it became available for purchase, and therefore it was purchased. And I'm assuming that the structure that was on there probably shed water, and it probably shed water onto the neighbors. and it seems to be a habitual problem in the whole area. So why am I telling you this? Because it's 11 o'clock at night. It's my feeling about it. But the point of the matter is that I think the property owner has the right to develop the property just as other properties with the same arguments that we've had in this neighborhood have, not arguments, discussions, and they're discussions that should be held about what, what's happened in this neighborhood regarding stormwater management and the application of that. So having said that and looking at the looking at the ordinance, it looks as though the requirement is that the applicant has to apply for a special use exception, triggering a public hearing, which is why we're here tonight, for the special use exception along the way. And so I would ask council, so then the requirements of the requirements of special use, I'm assuming, are applicable as standard fare for special use.
It's substantially affected.
So then we get into substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties.
I grew up with a lot of people back there, went to high school with them. But it's a sign of the times, just like a man has a farm and he wants to sell it, he can sell it. Do what he wants to with it. And that person who buys it can do what they want to with it.
And we have the responsibility of trying to put a statement of measure on the word substantially.
Does the board want some more time to stew on it?
To your point, Dr. Carson, I mean, we talked about the drainage. You know, the drainage was a problem, been a problem for quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. And to your point, this house being on a piece of property, this piece of property having a house on it before, I mean.
I want to be careful here, because we are kind of talking about some things that maybe aren't in the record. We don't have anything in the record about there being a house on there previously, nor do we have a discussion about this specific property necessarily having a long-term historical drainage thing. So we need to focus just what's in the record, so.
Is in the drainage, that's down the conservation district, really.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 13001 from Mr. Finley Jones for this request to special use exemption pending a final written decision based upon the record during the public hearing, because the proposed use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties.
Second.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson.
Aye.
Mr. Hastings.
Aye.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye.
And aye too. So they vote of 4-0. Case 13001 from Mr. Finley Jones is approved. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.